Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Minutes on the timer, and the subject is left and right.
Would you consider yourself left wing, Windy?
Yes.
How left?
I would.
Because there is a difference, isn't there?
There really is, and it's becoming more and more apparent each and every day. I think on some issues I'm probably vehemently left wing, on others I'm more of a centrist. But that's the thing, I'm willing to be on a sliding scale, and I think part of the reason that you wanted to have this conversation is because you know so many people aren't willing to be on that sliding scale, and it frustrates the hell out of you.
It does, because and yes, it does. It frustrates the hell out of me. I think that. Do you know what? Let me take this back to when I'm really interested in George Orwell, and obviously he wrote, you would consider him to be left, a socialist left winger, who is ultimately for the betterment of all. But he grasped on, or so he gave up some names who were of some people who were radical left to the establishment. They gave information in order to, I can't remember if they were arrested or the operation was stopped, but he essentially gave up. And I was thinking, how can he do that? When I was reading the books, I was very left wing at the time. How could he do that? These people are fighting the same fight as him. And I read one of his essays, and he was talking about, you think of extremities in politics as a circle, and people on the far right are on the edge of the circle, and the people on the far left are also on the edge of the circle. And if you draw a line, you can connect both of them. So their ideas are different, but their potential to disrupt a conversation that can lead to a better future is the same. And that it does. It really frustrates me that people don't ask why someone feels the way they do. They just hate the fact that they feel the way they do. And the problem is while I would still consider myself left wing, and I would definitely, if I had the option of voting for either Labour or Conservatively, 100% of the time, I would always do Labour. I live in an area of the world that doesn't have a Labour candidate because it's pointless. It's a waste of time. But I would vote Labour. But the worst part of left wing people are the people that vote left wing, if that makes any sense, because they're so pious. They're so, I'm right, you're wrong, you're a scumbag. That's the energy that comes out of them. And if you don't feel that way, if you feel that you're more leaning towards the right, and you've got someone whose politics you don't necessarily align yourself with saying, you're a fucking idiot for believing that. You're a scumbag, you're a racist, you're a bigot. They're going to think, fuck you. Well, we're not going to have this conversation then, are we? You think I'm all of these things. I think you're a smelly snowflake. And then there's no conversation. Instead of both of us, just because you believe politically, you're not politically aligned, you can't sit back and say, what do you believe? What do I believe? What's our common goal? And the more social media, the more prevalent social media has become, the worse it's got. The worse it's got. There was always left wing. There was always anti-fascists and fascists. But it's being played out every day, every minute of every day. And we're getting to a point where it's very difficult to move someone forward, move an idea forward that's for the betterment of all. I realise I've been talking for ages here, mate, so I'm going to stop in a second.
No, it's really interesting. And I think the point you made about not being able to enter into any kind of dialogue is the most important one. So much dialogue gets shut down because people are just so ideological about everything. But also, I think, because of the way the voting system is in our country, for example, that shuts down conversation. That stops people being able to have an open conversation because they have to politicise everything. They have to think, I need to say something in this way because if I lose my seat, then we've got problems. So it stops you it stops any kind of genuine transparency or openness entering into the conversation. I think also the media has a huge part to play in this. The very obvious leanings of our various, you know, print newspapers and also websites are problematic.
Yeah.
And the way things are... So, okay, if you look at how a TV or a radio debate is set up, what they do is they get someone on one extreme end of a view and someone on the opposite extreme end of the view and say, right, you two, battle it out. When actually the majority of the country is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
So why would you start off from that point of having people at extreme ends of any possible debate? That's really unhelpful.
Yes.
Why not have a couple of people who are slightly sort of might believe in a little bit of the extreme view, but really just want to, like you say, come to some kind of logical conclusion?
Yes.
That would be a more healthy way of presenting debates. That would be a more healthy way of talk radio discussing any particular subject. But it just doesn't work like that. So you end up with a situation where you've got The Guardian, who are extreme left, as some people would say, I would say actually quite centrist these days.
They are.
And then the Daily Mail, who are vehemently right-wing on most topics, and very few papers that sit somewhere in the middle.
No, they've all politically aligned because they understand that they understand they're feeding into their readers. The
exactly.
Sun has never not backed a winner in a political race. It's never not backed a winner. So much so, they changed parties. The Sun eventually backed Tony Blair before he got elected. Because they understand that if they're feeding into the general will of the people, then they're always going to have readers. And what's driving them is business rather than what's good. And they are businesses. So why should they do anything other than that? And this is why there's like calls for sort of nationalist way of approaching these things, where you have a national paper which isn't driven by sales, it's driven by information. But as we've seen in history over and over again, when you develop a kind of left-wing socialist environment for people to work and live in, it's manipulated by the people in power. So this,
well, it's interesting what you say there, because basically the BBC is meant to be that. It's meant to be this sort of non-partisan organisation which presents all sides of every view. And yet, what we see is people on the right say lefty BBC, people on the left say right-wing BBC, and everyone thinks it's an awful organisation. No one actually trusts it anymore.
The hashtag defund the BBC is... Yeah. I'm not sure people actually know what they're saying. And the amazing work the BBC does all around the world, like exposing stories and corruption and people who are suffering without the BBC wouldn't be reported on, because they're story first, whereas everything else is business first. Defund the BBC is a horrendous, horrendous idea. And I think obviously it's being very reactive. I think it's basically, it came out of the idea of one of the BBC journalists using the N-word, but a mistake or a stupid decision by someone who has been an idiot isn't a reason to bring down the world BBC World Service, that does incredible work to highlight the issues that the poorest people in the world are going through. But it's that kind of extremism that's born out of social media. It's that kind of reactiveness. People jump on bandwagons. If you're left wing, and like you say, the left wing have an idea about defunding the BBC. The right wing say they're too the BBC is too left. The reality is the BBC are probably doing quite a good job. Quite a good job at giving information as unbiasedly as they can. If you want... And that's a great example, isn't it? It's a great example of actually how a national organisation can run without it being propaganda for the state. And I think that's because it's the government really have no hand on it, really. It's an independent organisation that's funded by the government. The conspiracy theorists, we have done an episode on conspiracy theorists, they might say that in a clandestine way, the government do have claws into the BBC. But yeah, so I spend a lot of time...
Well, they definitely do say that. They definitely do say that. I've seen many things, you know, there are people in power in the BBC who used to work for the Conservative Party or who are friends with high-profile donors of the Conservative Party, etc., etc. And yet there are also presenters who are quite obviously left-wing. So this is why you get both sides attacking the BBC. But it just adds to the problem. And you mentioned social media. That's where our conversation started, isn't it? That's where your frustrations lie. Because what it means, all of the stuff that we discussed means that you've got these very divided groups of people, very staunch, stoical people on either side who absolutely refuse to cave on any point. And then when a new debate comes up, they look for what is the left-wing view of this? What is the right-wing view of it? Okay, well, that's my view. And they don't sort of engage with the subject matter themselves. It just feels like they take whatever stance they need to take in order to maintain the status quo of their view, and they will absolutely not back down on any issue. And it's an absolute mess on Twitter.
I can't remember anyone ever backing down on Twitter, ever. They just simply keep arguing until someone gets bored and stops. I put out a tweet this morning saying, is there a release clause for Jacinda... what's her name?
Ahern.
And I thought, should I tweet this? This is what I thought. I wonder if she has a release clause. So if those people are not interested in football, players of significant quality often have a release clause, which means another club can buy them. So I just thought it might be a little bit droll to make a joke out and try and see if we can buy the Prime Minister of New Zealand to come and run our country for us. But clearly a joke, right? Because it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense. Of course, like a Prime Minister's not going to have a release clause so another country can come and buy them. But I took a moment for thought, actually, should I even do this? Should I even tweet this? Because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to get loads of like right-wing Tories going, she's a fucking prick. We want a fucking woman running our country. Forgetting the fact that their dads had voted for Margaret Thatcher. So I did tweet it in the end because I literally don't care. I just skim past these comments if anyone's been too critical. But it's like, I think social media is a massive part of it. Also, I think people have this idea that the left wing are good and the right wing are bad. Like, this is the dark side. This is the I don't know Star Wars. I tried to do a Star Wars analogy. These are the rebels, and these are the... Or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
Jedi,
and yeah, whatever it is. The good and bad, right? And that's just not the case. It's just... I think left people are much more likely to be compassionate than people, right-wing people, for sure. But it's the idea that people who are left-wing think that they know what's best is something I have an issue with to some degree.
Well, I think also... And I just want to say it's Ardern, not Ahern. I got her name wrong. Sorry, it's my bad. I think also there are some issues which aren't left and right. They are right and wrong. Like, there are some issues which quite clearly are, you know, for example, social justice. Racism is not a left and right issue.
No.
Racism is a what's right and what's wrong issue. You know, and they get conflated, don't they? And people start saying, you are... If you're right wing, you're racist. Well, of course not.
No,
there are plenty of people who are right wing because they believe in a certain way that the government's purse should be managed, but are completely in tune with all kinds of social equality and justice. That's not abnormal.
A sweeping generalisation, I think, from people in the left that think that if you vote to conservative, you're also a racist, which is absurd. I'm saying there are probably more racist Tories than there are
for sure. Labour voters. There's no doubt about that.
But not all of them are racist because they vote Tory.
To sort of backtrack, it's slightly to do with maintaining the status quo, isn't it? And the point is that actually, if we want social justice and equality, we can't maintain the status quo. Things do need to change. Yeah. And so you have to be a little bit more radical in your thinking, and that goes against conservatism and those principles. So that's the issue. But yeah, it's the way that the debates on social media get completely polarized and therefore shut down, and therefore no one makes any ground either way, and just really unhelpful. Brexit being the most obvious one, which I can't believe we've gone through however many minutes of this podcast we've not mentioned Brexit yet, but it was the absolute worst. It made social media an absolute hellmouth.
It did.
It still is now. Yeah. You know, you can't talk about Brexit on social media.
No, I don't want to. And that's the thing, is it gets to such a point as the people are so steadfast in their views that you don't want to talk about it. You don't want to engage. And the only way you can find ways out of this is if you do. And therefore, we're part of the problem. And often we get the government we deserve. And that doesn't mean that, you know, ultimately England is and as always will be a conservative country fundamentally. The Tories will spend more time in over a 100-year period than Labour have. So you would say fundamentally, more time in charge, so you say fundamentally we're a conservative country. But I know what this is. I know what's coming. Forget it.
Flav,
right.
Cut off in your prime, your 50 minutes are up.
Not sure I was going anywhere with that anyway.